The Steve Cochran Show.
No hate, no fear. Refugees are welcome.
Representatives of these communities are here now demanding that those held in detention here at O'Hare and at JFK and anywhere else around the country be immediately released.
Yeah! America is not hate.
They are not the terrorists. They are the victims of terrorism.
America is love.
I'm horrified by what our government is doing inside.
It's a very dangerous, dangerous time.
It's I-12. Dean's coming up here in a little bit. Going to talk to Mayor Emanuel here in a second as well about trying to get some of the best talent attracted back to Chicago. But the topic of the day is an obvious one. Good morning, Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm all right. Were you at the O'Hare last night?
Yes. As I was flying down to Champaign, I stopped by to thank all the lawyers who are volunteering their time. And we sent them some coffee and stuff to keep them energized and just wanted them to know. And I thought they were standing up, not in volunteering, but more importantly, standing up for our collective values of who we are.
And
energy.
Do we know that everybody that was being held is now no longer being held?
We don't know. I don't have that update yet. I'll be getting stuff from the airport a little later. I think you could expect this. There's, unfortunately, given the way this was rolled out, a lot of confusion at the ground level. What's now permissible, what's not permissible. I don't think this is exactly, I mean, I know the question is a fair question. What does that mean to the people that were stopped last night? But the basic tenet here, some people talk about the country divided and that nothing's united people more than this action.
Right.
That, I say this, Steve, you know I'm a fan of history. In 38, Hitler put a bunch of Jewish kids on a boat. It's called the St. Louis, and sent it. And it went from shore to shore, and his intent was to show that nobody wanted these kids. And then they ended up outside of the United States, Miami, and they were allowed in by Roosevelt and the State Department and sent back. That was a shame and a stain on America. We should not repeat this. These are kids and families. They have been cleared, vetted, and it is contrary to everything we believe in, everything. And I say that also as a son and a grandson of immigrants.
Right.
And we have history when America went counter to its own image of itself and its own values, and that did not turn out well, and it's wrong.
These
people immediately reacted with the right type of fear that this was wrong.
You served as chief of staff to President Obama. Take us behind closed doors here on how something like this comes up. There should be a system of people to look the president in the eye, shouldn't there, and say, I understand you're passionate about this, but we cannot do this and we cannot do this this way. How does that not happen?
Well, I mean, you asked the core question. Put aside for a second the very substance is wrong. The process turned that substance and made it worse because people that are supposed to carry this out, like the head of Homeland Security, had no knowledge. They close hold. These type of things, the national security staff run it through the system. When I say that, state weighs in, defense weighs in, all these entities, White House staff included, legal, justice, to make sure that whatever you're doing is on firm legal ground. And what are the, nothing's a clear shot. So there, you have to weigh all the equities against each other. None of that happened. The people actually responsible for executing this had no knowledge about it. So the very process of, a memo would be sent out describing it, here are the content. And then every entity that it touches, from the Attorney General's office to the Defense Department, to intelligence, to defense, state, obviously the congressional, they would weigh in with comments of yay or nay or something, and none of that happened. They close hold, and it's contrary also to what, if I'm not mistaken, I'm doing this, but is that General Mattis himself has said in the past, as it relates to barring people from Iraq and Afghanistan who were supportive of our troops in their efforts.
Mayor, even before this executive order, you made it clear Chicago will stay a sanctuary city. Are you fearful of any federal retribution?
Yeah. First, I want to say I announced this last night. Amy and I are going to hold a dinner for Dreamers, our kids at Chicago Public Schools. And I've met them my whole tenure as mayor. These are kids at our military high schools. I met a young woman over the weekend who's now waiting to, you know, she's at a high school. She's waiting to hear from Notre Dame and University of Chicago. These are kids doing right. They're fearful right now. They're uncertain. Their families are uncertain. And I want the city of Chicago to open their arms, open their homes, communicate to them, and reassure them that they're safe, secure, and supported. That's one. We are a welcoming city. Always have been. It's actually an interesting little piece of history again. In 1850, Chicago was the only city council that passed an ordinance that would not cooperate with the federal government on the Fugitive Slave Act. So we've always been a sanctuary city, going back to 1850. And what does that mean? It welcomes people to our shore that they are secure, they can go about their lives of pursuing the American dream. Nobody wants to leave their home country of Poland or Pakistan or India or Ireland or Mexico or, in my grandfather's case, Moldova. There's something there, the humanitarian crisis, the inability for you to provide for your family. And Chicago offers promise, hope, and a better tomorrow.
The whole reason, this isn't poetry. The whole reason we are the leader of the free world and the place everybody wants to be is because we've always welcomed people to bring their best here, their best to be their best, and invite them to build families and lives here. That's the whole basis of this country.
So let me connect this. I'm at U of I today talking to the computer science engineering and LP touring. We're asking them when they're done to come up to Chicago. About 50% of those kids are from around the world. About 40% of the patents in Illinois are from foreigners who've called Chicago or Illinois home. This is self-defeating. It's nuts.
Yeah, well,
at every level, it is contrary to our self-interest. And, you go to University of Chicago, you go to U of I, you go to UIC, you go to Northwestern, you go to Columbia, all your institutions of higher learning. I was at Accenture doing a town hall with the employees. There are people from all over the world. That's a great thing.
Yeah, it is a great thing. And it's beneficial to all of us. By the way, you can go to Think Chicago.
Where's your family from?
My family is, they're all Northern European mutts.
Okay, but they came here. They journeyed here at a time.
Right.
My grandfather came 100 years ago, 13 years old, by himself, to flee the pogroms that were prosecuting Jews in Eastern Europe. This city opened their arms and their heart to him. And the promise of that was that within two generations, his grandson's the mayor. In the same way that my dad left Israel and decided to make a chance here with my mother in Chicago. That's the power of the idea and ideals of America. And I'm hoping to convince the kids down here and all our universities and our kids in our Chicago public schools and our community colleges that Chicago welcomes them. In the same way, I don't know if you, I think I've told you this. If you get a B average in high school, we make community college free.
Right.
That's open to dreamers. Only city in the United States can do that.
Are you making something with kale when the Dreamers dinner happens?
You know, Steve, this is a serious issue, and you just can't, for 20 minutes, you can't go. No, we're not. We may have a kale salad, and I may actually end up in the kitchen. With my famous pasta dish.
Stay out of the kitchen. Let Amy do that. She's better than you. ThinkChicago.net for this particular issue. One thing before we let you go.
Mayor, just one thing. Many Chicago residents, whether you're born or not here, many of us who are Chicago's very own, continue to hear Donald Trump hammer away at Chicago, at the violence, at the crime, at the numbers. What are your thoughts on that? And has he made any attempt to contact you to come here and see these neighborhoods and see the problem firsthand?
Well, first of all, I want to step back and just... Look, we have 77 neighborhoods. 37 of them last year saw a decline. The concentration here, and which is why we have to focus on the areas, are in kind of the 7th district where Eddie and I were on Friday, and the 11th district on the west side, Englewood and Harrison. About 4% of the population, this is just data, unfortunately, and they represent 25% of all the gun violence. So the strategy is very clear. We need more police with better technology, better training, on how to break up the gang violence and give them the certainty and the encouragement to be both professional and proactive, not reactive. Second, with all that training and technology, we need to target the kids, which is what we're doing in the high schools and in the elementary schools, and provide them a mentor and a role model. You know, my view of this is you can't be what you can't see. And too many of these kids are growing up without a role model in their lives to help them
True story.
Make right decisions, very bad decisions. Then third, let's get, you know, sometimes gets Eddie and I in trouble, but I believe in the certainty around gun crimes and in the certainty around the law. We don't have that. New York has a 3-year minimum for any gun violence. Chicago, Illinois, 1 year, nobody serves it. You know, everybody says you can't lock people up and put them behind jail. Well, we've tried that. That's what we're doing right now as it relates to repeat gun offenders. Even the Tribune yesterday ran a story about what's going on with bail and how these guys are back out on the streets barely serving a period of their time. And then finally, we've got to make the investments in both skills and neighborhood economic investment, like what we're doing in Pullman, like what we're doing in North Lawndale with the movie studio, like what we're doing in Bronzeville with the grocery store and the park investments, like what we're doing in Woodlawn with the public transportation, the housing. And so you give people an opportunity to both have the skills to be part of the economy and a neighborhood where there's decades of neglect, we start to turn those around. But police are a key component of breaking, you know, getting between gangs who want to take things into their own hands. And
sure.
We need to support our officers. They have to earn the support, but they have to be supported because they're doing a very tough job. And they have to have be supported, meaning give them the training, technology, so they have the certainty to go out and do their job and the leadership to do it.
And Trump, I was just going to say, I know you met with Trump at the White House. Has he contacted you about this since a tweet?
Yeah, you know, I have not met with him in the White House. I met with him in New York.
Okay.
I have talked, not to him, but, I would always welcome more FBI, ATF, federal entities that work with our local law enforcement. I would welcome more prosecutions of gun violence at the federal level. I'd welcome greater investment. We can afford 8th, 9th, and 10th grade for these young men. I'd love support for 6th and 7th grade so we can give these kids 5 steady years of mentoring and then help us with job training and economic development. I'll give you an example. When I became mayor, our summer jobs was $14,500. It's now $31,000. And every year the federal government's been, since 2012, reducing their support. Step up. Give these kids a job in the summer. Let them get their resume right.
Right, right.
That's a piece of it. But it's not the answer, but it's a piece of it.
It's absolutely a piece of it. It's more than a tough guy tweet. All right, thinkchicago.net. That's a great resource. Businesses around Chicago, it's not too late to get involved and make Chicago a destination for great minds around the state and around the Midwest, around the country.
Two things. I want everybody to reach out. We've got 10 organizations. Invite dreamers, their families, or the kids into your home. They're living on razor edge right now, not sure. They need the certainty to know that this city supports them. Okay?
All right. What was the other thing?
The other thing is, well, we'll do it another time. We'll go through it. It deals with the crime and violence that's happening in other cities. But we'll talk about that. My focus is getting Chicago right and giving our officers and our communities the support they need to turn this around.
You take care of being the hospitality guy when the Dreamers are there. Let Amy take care of making sure the meal is perfect because she's a great cook.
I'll do the dishes, but if there's anything left over, Kale, you're the food depository.
Wow, I've never been called a depository before.
Not to your face, at least.
you're just the great one, not the greater food depository.
The depository. Yeah, you're right. Not to my face. That's Mayor Rahm Emanuel.